All that hair over those lips. How about missing teeth? Or no teeth at all? The meaning is lost there. How about bad breath? It certainly makes you stand back to read those lips. I can remember, you have to remember that for lip reading, you have to be facing the person. And that can be a problem. Also, if the person is spitting in your face while you're trying to read his lips, you have to learn to duck really well. Okay. I suppose that all of you were taught not to speak with your mouths full. Mm-hmm. But if someone's eating and wants to talk to me, what do I do? You know what that looks like? Clothes in a dryer going round and round. All right. The hazards of lip reading. Also, there's another danger of sign language. I suppose many of you who learn sign language come in contact with some kind of hazard, like, I think, whoops. Maybe tomorrow, whoops. If you're eating at the table, the glasses, fine. Oh, there goes the glass. Okay. It often happens, or the waiter comes up, and you don't know that, and you flail your hands, and there goes the tray. That can happen sometimes. So there are hazards in both. Okay. Okay. This is going to be related to sign language, finger spelling. And we're going to tell you many, many different jokes, stories that we do with our hands. Okay, first, I'd like to see if you people know your hands very well. You wash your hands every day. You eat. You dress. You do different things with your hands every day. Now, perhaps you can learn something that you never knew about your hands before. Follow me. Okay, the knuckles must stay together. Okay. I'd like to see if you can move these two fingers. Okay, that's pretty good. Now let's see if you can move the little fingers. Okay, fine. Now move this finger. Okay. Now move these two fingers. They have to stay together, the knuckles. It's not possible. It's impossible. Okay. Now, with this, Dick is going to show you a four-letter word. Now, it's a nice one. It's okay. A four-letter word, and he's going to describe an action. Many of you, I suppose, are going to know what the word is, but let's begin. What was it? Huh? What was that? Car racing, right. Did you see each individual letter? Okay, let's see it again. Okay. Here's the letter D. Here's the letter for R, also meaning ready. It's a drag race. The letter A is the race. G is the cars going off in the distance. And it spells the word drag, as in drag racing. Do you catch on? Do you get it? Let's try another one. The word. What's the word? Ford. Ford. You want to see it again? The eyes. The O. There's nothing there. The R. Ready. And the D. The drag. It takes off. Did you catch on better now? Okay, let's try another one. What's the word? Duel. Duel. Let's see it again. Here's the D's. They're walking, turning, facing each other. The letter L, they shoot. There goes the smoke from the barrel. Huh? What is it? Golf. Yes. G-O-L-F. Here's the G, the T, the O is the ball, the L is the swing, hitting the ball, and the F is the ball going into the air. Also, we have another category of puns related to sounds and sign language. Many of you are hearing people learning sign language, and that makes up a special group of puns. Steve, would you give one? Sign language for milk is this. Obviously, like milking a cow. What's that mean? Pasteurized milk. Past your eyes. The milk's going past your eyes. It sounds the same. Past your eyes. Another one? Okay, here's one. These are ears. And then you put S's on either end. Sears. Oh. Looks like it was a bad pun. How about this? With a Y. Year. With a T. Tear. Okay. I think that we'll try a longer letter story and see if you can catch each letter. What's the word? Butterfly. Butterfly. He also fingerspelled each letter in the word. So let's watch and see if we can catch it the second time. Here's the B crawling over, U coming up the tree, T, E eating, R hanging, F, L, Y. Butterfly, flying away. Butterfly. Another one, Libby? Reflection. Reflection. You fingerspell and fingerspell the same on the other hand, and you see the reflection. R-E-F-L-E-C-T-I-O-N. Okay. We have a hand sign for coffee, just like this. That's the sign for coffee. Because of the grinding. Coffee. Okay. Another one is like this, C-O-F-F-E-E, C-O-F-F-E-E, why? The teeth, C-O-F-F-E-E, C-O-F-F-E-E, coffee, see it fast? Want to see it fast? Coffee. Anyone here have a short story like this one that you'd like to share? Oh, I know one. Well, what was it? Bobby. B-O-B-B-Y. Bobby. Does anyone have another one? Okay, how about this one? Think of the sound. El Paso. The L's passing the O. El Paso, get it? Okay. We will do another longer story using all the letters in the alphabet, A, B, C, D, and so forth, and it's going to tell you a story along with it. Dick will do the story, and I'll ask you what the action was afterwards. All right, from A to Z, please. What was the action? Horse racing. Yes, horse racing. But did you see each letter? A, B, C, D, E, the alphabet. Did you see that? Okay, now he's going to slow down and say each letter and watch. Watch for the letters that you see up here, the alphabet. Okay, start again. A, galloping on the horse. B, putting the hat into place. C, pulling down the goggles. D, anxiety. E, biting my nails. F, looking over toward the stands. G, gulp. H, hurry. I, imagining. J, around the turn. K, I see, I'm looking. L, the starting gun. M, the gates open. N, the horses are off. O, people watching in the stands with binoculars. P, the people. Q, the mouths open wide. R, the cigarettes fall from their mouths. S, yay. T, past the finish line. U, looking around. V, people looking at me. W, worried. Huh, X, no sweat. Y, I'm handed the trophy. Fantastic for Z. Fantastic. Thank you. I know one. Okay, fine, let's see it. A, knocking on the door. B, the doors are opening. C, looking around. D, I hear something. E, scream. E. F, I investigate. G, it's the queen. H, she's lying down. Hey, wait a minute. You can't do that. This is a family show. Shucks. It's a good one. Nope. Woo. We do have those kind, and they're very funny. But we can't do them here. Okay. We're going to show you some different ages, eras of the hearing aid. A long time ago, people used their hand. What? Later, they came up with the ear horn. And I'll show you what happened to one man who was using that ear horn. He's old and living in a nursing home. Okay, then came the invention of the hearing aid with the amplification box with a wire attached to the hearing aid on your ear. Some people didn't want to use that. I myself, when I was a child, refused to use one. Why? It made my handicap more visible. People would look at me and they'd know that I was handicapped, so I didn't wear it and nobody knew. I'll show you how a girl coped with that problem. Are you deaf? Hey, and now nobody knows I'm deaf. It would help if you'd clap up here. That way we can see it. I can't hear you clapping. That's better. Okay. From the hand to the horn to this kind of hearing aid with the box, we progressed to something that you people use when you get up in the morning, some of you. You put in the eyes, the contact lenses. Put in the choppers. and then the ears, the hearing aids. All right. Okay. We will now talk about name signs. All of you were born with a name that was given to you. Among deaf people, we have what we call name signs. Commonly, these are given to us when we go into school, unless we have deaf parents who would already have given us our name signs. It might be like a certain hand shape, or maybe a letter of your first name or last name. Okay, Mary, this is M, the first letter. Okay, so we might decide where to put the M on some part of the body, like here, 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 maybe here, and so forth. In one school, residential school, no sign names should be the same. They should all be different so that you don't have to fingerspell the names. Other people may have what they call family signs. Members of that family have name signs, and they're all around the same location. For example, my mother's name is Nona. Her name sign is this, an N from the chin to the chest. N, Nona. She has three children. The first is Karen, with a K from the chin to the chest. Second, Janet, J, from the chin to the chest. Third, Doris, D, the same movement. You notice? All from the mouth to the chest. Okay. The next generation is a little bit different. My older sister's children, there are four with different names, but the signs are done here. Chad with a C, Keith with a K, Judy with a J, and Ernie with an E. My younger sister has three, and their name signs are all done here. Joan with a J here, C for Jessica, and then JR for Jimmer. Okay, so you know the different family groups and how they go together. Other people have strange name signs. I have a story behind some name signs, and it can be very funny. For example, a friend whose name sign is this. Why? It's said that when my friend was a small boy, his head was very, very large and his body was very, very small. So the name sign was this. You understand? Okay, another person maybe has a big nose, so the name sign might be like a C here. Like this. Maybe the person has long hair. Maybe Sandy, and it would be done with an S like this. They're all different kinds. Okay. I'm wondering if any of you, deaf people here, have name signs that you'd like to share with these people. Put your hand up if you'd like to share one. Okay, your name sign is this, and where did you get it? At 4.5 years old in school. Okay, why? The name sign at school, with very small children, they can't really fingerspell very well, so it's easier to have a name sign. So his was like this. Any others? Your name sign? Like this? And why? Okay. The residential school. When he went into school, his last name began with, it was Payne. It began with a P. And so it was given to him by his house parents, like that. P. There. Any other name signs? I'm not deaf, but my name sign is Tira. Okay, this lady got her name sign late, I suppose, from deaf co-workers, maybe? Okay, they gave her the name sign like this. And your last name? Oh, why the T? From your first name? But what's your first name? Spell it for me, please. Ah, Thyra. And she said it sounds like tear. So they gave her the name sign T to look like tears. Any other name signs here? Okay, this name sign. Your name is Patty. And Patty grew up with red cheeks, and she was called this, Patty, a P here. Okay, we also have name signs for the presidents of the United States. I would say it's an interesting history behind Nixon's name sign. When he became president, we gave him the name sign with the letter N, N, like this. Nixon, do you know why? That doesn't need an explanation, okay. But after Watergate, we called him Nixon. Who's laughing here? Okay, you know why? Because it came from the sign for lie. This is the sign for lie. And with an N. And doesn't that tell you something? Okay, the next president, Carter. We have the name sign for him like this. Because of peanut. This is the sign for peanut, a C. Carter, obvious, isn't it? Also, other people call him this, the C's, and that big smile. What's next? Let's see, the next president. Oh, okay, Reagan. All the different name signs for Mr. Reagan. Can you show some of them? Do you know one? Like this? Star, movie. This one? Because he used to be a cowboy. This one? All with the letter R. And let's see, there's a new one just like this. Because he cuts the budget so much. So we do it like this, like a scissors cutting. There are a lot of different ones for him. Okay. I think it's time to stop. And we leave some time for you all to ask questions. That would be fine. You don't need to be afraid to ask.
Are there any questions? Come on up here and stand on the stage.
Hi. I'm the mother of several children, and when my first daughter was born at the age of one, well, I was teaching her sign language, and at first she learned to sign, and the first one was motorcycle. And then airplane. And my daughter learned sign, and we had to teach her the signs for the different machines, motorcycles, and all that. And as they were growing up, my children all learned sign that way. So I taught them like mommy and daddy, and they'd copy me, but they did it a little bit different with mommy and daddy. So the one child's name was Emily with the E. So we just gave her the name sign. And then with a G for another one whose name began with G and another one whose name began with C, we used the letter C. At 2 years of age, Emily, she didn't like that. We gave her this letter E, but she didn't like that sign. She was always doing this at her mouth. She would do that, and she would say, "That was me." Just like that, because she's cute, she said. Okay. It was strange, but she gave herself her own name sign. She would always say that, and I'd always call her by the old one, and I'd have to say, "I'm sorry, we'll use the other one." And then my other daughter wanted the same sign, like that. But we couldn't do that because that would be Emily's sign. So we finally ended up calling Emily with the letter E.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there other questions?
I'd like to share my friend's experience. One time, my friend came up to a hearing person, and they were calling the one friend's daughter. And they said to the daughter, "Do you have a tongue? And then, do you have ears?" And the daughter said, "Yeah, I can hear and I could talk," but she didn't understand.
Thank you.
They thought the deaf person didn't have a tongue and didn't have ears because they couldn't speak and couldn't hear.
Thank you very much. I think we're going to have to close. I hate to stop this. It always seems too short. But thank you all for being such a good audience. And before I make announcements, will you please help me thank our participants and performers? Our next program in this tent will begin in about 10 minutes, and that will be a storytelling workshop in which some of our deaf participants will be telling legends that are popular in the deaf community, telling stories about deaf heroes, famous jokes, famous incidents in deaf history. We've got some special participants for that. In our other tent right now, we're demonstrating the TTY. There's a teletypewriter that the deaf use to communicate over the telephone. At 3 o'clock in this tent, we'll have an introductory lesson in American Sign Language. And for our deaf visitors, please, we would like to interview you for the Gallaudet College Archives. And if you're willing to be interviewed and to tell us a little bit about your life or some stories that you like, any of the kinds of things that you just saw up here on this panel, please go over to our other tent anytime today. You'll find a collecting area with a videotape camera. Introduce yourself, and we'll interview you there. Thank you very much. Wait. Jan wants to thank the interpreters. Yeah, he must be thirsty. He's been talking so much during the show. Me? Thirsty? I haven't been talking. My hands are tired. Thank you. I think we'll start our program. Nothing important. Right. Okay, welcome to the deaf area. I don't know how many of you plan to be here, but we'll try to keep you here. We're going to have a discussion workshop. We're going to have a discussion workshop now with several of our panelists. They're going to be telling stories about famous events in the deaf community, favorite heroes in the deaf community, things that seem of real importance. And I'd like to start out by asking them to introduce themselves. I think a few more people will join us a little later when they finish lunch. Okay. Debbie, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Debbie.
You can sit down now.
Sonnenstrahl. I live here in Washington, D.C., near here, and I work at Gallaudet College, again near here, and I work as Director of Fine Arts in Education, trying to help museums all over the country to become more sensitive to our special needs.
Thank you. Jack?
Good afternoon. My name is Jack Gannon. I am director of the alumni public relations at Gallaudet, where Debbie works, and I live in Silver Spring, Maryland. I can talk and introduce my name with my mouth full. My name is Bill Ennis. I live in Greenbelt, Maryland. And I work at the United States Department of Agriculture as a programmer.
I hope that the deaf people in the audience can understand my signing.
Aha! Yeah.
The interpreter showed up. Okay. Okay, we start this panel differently every day. Today I think I might mention the topic of sports. A lot of deaf people have played sports and have made an impact on sports. And I thought maybe I'll let these people go after a while, let them tell what stories they want, but to kick them off to something to start with, maybe a couple of them have some ideas about sports heroes or sports stories they'd like to share with you.
I don't know any sports.
That's okay. That's okay. You can change the subject.
I'm going to start. Oh, Jack, you go first. You've heard of the football huddle, right? Too bad we didn't copyright it. There is a belief that deaf football team invented the football huddle. And when I was working on my book, Deaf Heritage, I tried very hard to document that fact, but I couldn't do it. Was impossible. But I have evidence that deaf people started long time ago, around 1880s. And later on, other football teams used it. So every Sunday if you watch a football game in the fall, you'll see all the teams using huddles. And when you do, think of the deaf people. They use it so that the other team wouldn't see their signals. Makes a lot of sense, right? And there was a deaf baseball player named William Hoy. People called him Dummy. That was a nickname many deaf people had during the turn of the century. William Hoy played baseball for the Cincinnati Reds as an outfielder. He was a short man, but very good player. And in one game, he caught the ball and threw it to home base, struck them out three times in the same game, and established a record. Anyway, it was Hoy who was given credit for the baseball count. You know, ball strikes. Hoy claims credit for that.
Thank you. Bill, you have one?
Oh, I can't match his rich histories, but I do know some things. Can you see me? Okay. I'm going to take this from a good friend of mine, Dick Moore. Just performed an hour ago, and he asked if he knew any legends in sports, and he said, yes, he knew one, and I think it's funny, so I want to share it with you. Okay with you? Fine, he says. Yeah, this is in Kentucky. It's a high school football team. And the coach had to go to the train station to reserve 20 seats for mutes?
Mutes.
And within a few days, they were ready for the game. And 20 deaf football players went to the train station, and they wanted their tickets. And he looked through the list, and he said, we don't have tickets for your players, but I have a place reserved for your mules. Right. There's another one. There's a player named Sammy Oates, about 1956, 57, 58, All-American three times at the deaf school. Remember when, this is my brother John over there, when we were kids, we loved to watch him play at the Texas School for the Deaf, and single ward formation. Single wing formation. And when he was a senior, he was many schools offered him places, and that was unheard of for hearing colleges to offer him scholarships. And Sammy decided finally to choose Hardin-Simmons University out in West Texas, where Sammy Ball was coach. Is that how you pronounce his name? He was a Washington Redskins quarterback. Thank you. Sorry. And he developed into a great time receiver, even though he never played receiver in high school. His first year as a freshman, he was fifth or sixth best pass receiver in the nation, and all the kids in deaf school were so excited, and Hardin-Simmons University often would send two or three films of the football game to us, and we boys really looked up to our hero. And the next year, he played his second year, sophomore year. Of course, it was like two or three on him at one time. He played as the lone end. Well, it's not that he wouldn't join, but he didn't go with the huddle. He had some kind of trick that the quarterback knew how to fingerspell and would say something to him. And so when it was time for the play, the lone end would look over and they'd fingerspell something and what the decision was, like that. And then he'd look over and know that play. And then he would run the formation. I think that was a great all-time player.
Thank you. Sign language can be useful. Well, I seem to have put two people on the spot by starting off with sports. One of our participants, Debbie, and also our interpreter, whom I sympathize with, because I don't know enough about football myself. So let me ask Debbie to change the subject and to pick a story that she likes to tell about a deaf hero in her mind.
Thanks for saving me. Oh, well, which one do you want me to tell? Washburn again? Shorter? Okay. I must tell you my favorite hero. His name was Cad Washburn, and he graduated from Gallaudet College many years ago at the turn of the century, 1890-something, 1900. And he was a famous artist. His works were museums all over the world, but he led an interesting life. My favorite story about him involves his college student days. During that time, before anyone could graduate from Gallaudet College, he or she had to present a speech before the public. made up of teachers, superintendents of DC school system, everyone. Anyone who was interested in education was involved in this audience. So Washburn gave his lecture on what? Guess what it was? It was called The Working Mind of a Spider. And it was a big hit. So that the superintendent of the DC schools asked him for permission to publish his speech in the fifth and sixth grade science book for the schools all over this city. And he graduated and went on and made many, many, many accomplishments. One of the greatest accomplishments he made was applying for a job as a news reporter. His work as an artist came later, but as a reporter for a newspaper in Chicago, he traveled all over the world. And I forgot to tell you one important thing. He was deaf, even though he was born hearing. He became deaf at the age of 5. And from that day on, he never spoke again, turned off his voice, closed his lips, and for the rest of his life he signed, till 80. When he became a news reporter anyway, he wrote different stories. And one time he found himself in Mexico. And Mexico was right in the middle of their Spanish Civil War. There was fighting everywhere, all over. And Washburn wanted to see the president of Mexico. Really, he was a dictator. He wanted to see him, have a private interview with him, find out what his private dreams were, objectives for his country, so on. So he found where his headquarters were and went there. I stepped on something, excuse me. But the play must go on. I found that where the headquarters were, and he went in, was, and he found many, many people there, seated in there, waiting for their appointment with the president. So many reporters before him, so he looked around, and he knew that there was no chance for him. Do you think he gave up, though? No way. He left the room, went to a store nearby, and he bought himself a black coat with long tails and a top hat and a black cane and white spats, complete with white gloves. And he went back to the headquarters, opened the door very quietly. No word was spoken, and the people looked at him and said, "Who's that? Who's that?" And everybody said, "Well, I don't know, who's that?" And everybody was moving around, and the secretary ran into the president's office and asked him, "Someone's there, looks very important. I don't know who he is. Should you talk to him?" She was all excited. And the president said, "Oh, really, really, really?" He said, "Okay, I'll talk with him for 5 minutes." So the secretary went out. She goes, "Sir, you may go in." And Washburn bowed his head slightly, walked into the office, and the two men sized each other up. And the president said, "Have a seat." Washburn sat down.